The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Yes, it is, and welcome back. Wednesday, January 13th. A lot on your mind, and we'll let you say it here, of course. We'll go through it together. This is one format you still have, and we don't censor here. 602-508-0960. Doug is in Maricopa. Hello, Doug.
How the heck are you, Seth?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'd like to say hallelujah on that guest you had.
Oh, Mark Bauerlein, yeah, he's special.
Oh, he is, and great article in the Epoch Times. I get that. Of course, I get the digital, and I still like the paper in my hand.
Okay.
they have great people, Conrad Black and others, in there, and writing for it, just excellent.
Yeah.
But I think he puts his finger on in a much more distinct fashion, much clearer fashion than I, what I've been sensing as a ne'er-do-well, that we basically haven't been fighting. We've been fighting with different tools. We don't have the passion. We don't have the technique of actually pushing our agenda. Our approach has always been in the House, in the Senate, and in the federal government, in the state governments, in the local governments. And I could be wrong. There's always differences in people that will stand to push me wrong. But the vast majority of it is the Democrats will push for 10 or 11% growth in spending. And we, so therefore, we're proud and prance back. I used to be driven nuts as a precinct person that we'd fight for 7 or 8% growth. It was always the growth, and we would.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, we would fight for reducing the increase. That's what we would fight for. I'm with you. Yeah, not rolling back, but containing, if you will. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the Democrats know that. As a matter of fact, that's the whole idea behind zero-based budgeting.
Right.
Is that the government comes in and says, well, I need 10% growth. Well, okay, there's actually less unemployed. Why do you need a growth? Doesn't matter. I need 10%. That's now considered zero. It's not even an increase, according to their books. And then on top of that, they'll say, well, let's add 5%. And we say, no, we're going to get 4%. Well, we should have said, wait a minute, 10% is insane.
Yeah.
Let's go back. But we never push our agenda. We slow their agenda. And that's why I termed them, us Republicans, and many of them, you know, some on your show, even people I hold respect for, we're placeholders. What I mean by that is the left pushes their agenda, advances regulations, advances their intolerance, and does all these advancements. And we come in, and for our term, we pull up into neutral, and we consider ourselves great conservatives. We have not advanced our agenda. We have slowed theirs. We're placeholders. We didn't push our agenda. And that's why liberals love establishment, because they don't push a conservative agenda. They placehold the advancements that the liberals made when they were in power. And and then they come right back in. The bureaucracies are in place. The number of bureaucrats are in place. The number of regulations are in the hundreds of thousands. If it goes to 120, it'll be 120 when the liberals get back in, because we won't take it down, except for Donald Trump. You know.
Yeah, I suppose there's this new cadre, and this is maybe, you know, there's this idea or phrase or notion of Trump Republican or Trump Republican Party. What it means, I gather, is that all said and done, it's a party that's not in first gear, but in third, fourth, and fifth, using all the gears of state. You know, whether he's taking down regulations, reducing regulations, whether he's you know, injecting fuel into the economy where it hasn't been before, whether he's finally doing something about the border, whether he's finally doing something about China, you know, finally doing something. And then there's this cadre around him of congresspeople that, you know, up until Donald Trump, you didn't hear much from or about, you know, your Matt Gaetz types, let's say, or your Jim Jordans, let's say.
Yeah.
It's this cadre that grew around him that as there were Reagan babies like Vin Weber and Newt Gingrich, there were David McIntosh, there were Trump babies here. And it's the kind of conservatism I like. It's all accelerator, no brake. You know, let the Democrats be the brake. We don't have to pull the brakes on our own agenda.
Well, you know, history shows, and that's 100% true, Seth. And I think the Republicans would find the passion. Look, at Trump had 10 million more than 15 million more people vote for him. The passion, higher Hispanic, higher Black. The passion is in action. And just in simple logic is a moderate who fights for the little bit of conservatism that he believes in, economic, more conservative to someone who espouses 90% of what I believe and does the established Republican approach. And I would say someone who actually agrees with me 40% but fights for it and accomplishes, he will put him in more into my agenda, into action.
Yeah, sure.
Then all the people who mouth, because the Republican sounds conservative every 2 years for our money. And then they back off and apologize. Look at the people who are silent in Washington. It's the advancements of liberalism, the attack and everything. The silence on our side is deafening. We have a few fighters, you know, and they take the heat. I hold that if we had everybody as bold as the few that are stand on our side, the Jim Jordan, there's a couple new women that have come in that are just more manly in terms of their strength than all the men who stand mute and gelded in the corner.
Yep.
They are wonderful. If there, we had 190 of them, these people could, the reason they take such heat is they stand alone.
Yep.
If you're on the battlefield and in the Union and Confederacy there, and one person stands out in there, you have one target. If you have an army of 20,000, you damn well better run. And the Republicans stand mute, and we are cowardly, and we're fickle. And I mean our leaders, the people we vote for. And that's so Trump Republicans means if you say something, then fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you're against abortion, don't 40 years later sit there and have not pushed for a bill to stop the, you know, funding of Planned Parenthood. Fight for it doggedly and put it in their ear. Use the rhetoric against the Democrats. Don't let the Democrats set the rhetoric and say, no, I'm not that. Set it. Make them back up. What was the name of that new representative who took her gun on to the into the House?
From Colorado, maybe?
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
I forget. I wasn't really for that. But
no,
I
know who you mean. Yeah, female out of Colorado.
Swalwell went after her and tried to ridicule her.
Yeah,
she hammered back. I fell in love with her. I'm an older man. She could be my daughter. I had a Republican crush with her because she whipped back.
Boebert, maybe Boebert, Lauren Boebert, I think.
Yeah,
I think.
But she hit him and said that. Basically, he had his hand down a Chinese spy's pants.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was wham. All of a sudden, the Swalwell shut up and didn't say much. See, normally we back up, the men back up, and cower. She went right at him, hit him where it hurt. And if we did that all 99, you'd find they're not as strong as we think.
Right.
It's just that they're unopposed.
Yeah.
They're basically unopposed.
Yep.
Except for poor Trump, who had the conviction to actually think that you should actually fight for something you believe in. And so he has a cadre of a dozen Republicans who I hold almost up as, you know, courageous saints who fought for him.
Yep.
But by God, that's what the new Republicans have to be. Don't talk conservative and be a placeholder. if you're going to say it, do it.
Yep. Stand for something.
There's got to be a lot of politics of conviction.
And our state parties really need to do a better job of recruiting people in that mold and of that mindset. You're absolutely right, Doug. It's the only way we move forward. And it's the only way we're going to roar in 2 years. You know, if you want people to charge a hill, you need to give them a Teddy Roosevelt, you know? You need to give them someone they can get behind who makes them want to charge that hill. I agree with you. And we have a lot of lessons to learn here, man. One of them is that. One of them is the types of people we want representing us and the types of people who are the only people capable of representing us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. A lot of thoughts on your mind. We'll get to all of you, I promise. Jeff is in Gilbert, it looks like. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Seth. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, could be better.
Yeah,
always
could be a little bit better. But, you know, it could be a lot worse, too. You know, we can't say it's the worst if you can say it's the worst.
Things could be better, Lloyd.
I just wanted to say I disagree with Hal. I think we're kind of past the point of peaceful. I'm 100% for peaceful demonstration along the lines of Gandhi, Martin Luther King, absolutely. But I think we're in a much dire situation than what Hal realizes. I think seeing now is the beginning of a new government system that they're bringing in, and the Democrats have been on board with this. It started in China. It's been a plan that we possibly don't know about. Well, we don't know about it. A lot of it's been hidden from us. But there's a plan to bring in a new government system and dismantle the American system we've known since the Constitution. They're going to get rid of the Constitution. They're going to get rid of the Bill of Rights. You're not going to have a fair court anymore. You're not going to have a right over your body. You'll be able to get an abortion if you're a woman. But you're going to be forced vaccinations, forced.
The only argument, and I don't know if it's an argument, Jeff. The only thing I want to say about this is, or up front, I would say about this is, I don't know how hidden any of this is. I mean, it's all pretty much they're telling us this in pretty broad strokes and loud words. I don't think this is much of a hidden conspiracy.
Exactly, but we didn't know about the plan. You know what I mean? We don't have the details.
I've been talking about it for 30 years.
Well, a lot of us didn't know this was coming. A lot of us didn't know that Biden would be exposed for being as corrupt as he is, but yet he's president now. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable level. I mean, is Trump
this,
really
this
bad?
Is why I'm glad. No, I am glad. This you're making a point that I'm a little bit that makes me a little bit optimistic, and I'm happy about. Which is something I've been saying for a while now, which is since at least November 3rd, we are now going to have the experience of the actual proving the theoretical. It's a lot harder to warn people about what they will do when they're not in power than showing them and having them show us who they are when they are in power. And for those of us in this community or any other community that didn't believe what we said when we said, you know, believe them. They have steadily moved further and further to the embrace of socialism. They have steadily welcomed more and more socialists into their fold. When Nancy Pelosi endorsed people who called themselves socialists and gave money to them as against their opponents in the Democratic Party primaries, and we said, believe them, and people are saying, you know, it doesn't bother me so much. Well, wake up and smell the coffee, and you're going to be bothered. You're going to be bothered now. And it will certainly, you know, listen to what Joe Biden says about what he wants to do on day one. The day is not big enough. There are not enough hours in the day for all the day one speeches Joe Biden has given. Day one's going to be an awfully long time. And, you know, I suppose a version of this is what we saw in 1993 and 94, 92, 93, 94. A lot of people said, Well, you know, Bill Clinton's a different kind of Democrat. Sounds pretty good on welfare. And a lot of others said, look who he'll bring with him. Be careful. And sure enough, look up the name Lonnie Guinier. I don't know how many people remember that name. Tried to bring her in as Deputy Attorney General for Civil Rights. And look at what he did or tried to do with Hillary care. And, you know, it was their overreach, but also our waking up and articulating that brought us the Gingrich Revolution and gave you your John Shaddix, if you will, gave you all those great, that great class of 1995. We're poised to do it again. We're going to have two parts to this. One is what the Democrats and the left are going to do in this country. It's going to be worse than what they did and tried in 93 and 94. The question is, will we have the kind of leadership like we had in 1993 and 1994 so that we can do it? And will we be the kind of movement that we were in 93 and 94 that we can do it so that we can do it? The first part is there, and it's going to be even more stark and worse. They didn't want socialists in their party then. Now they do. So they're worse now, the Democrats. Are we better? Are we better than we were then? That's the question. We have to be. We have to be. Because not enough people, Jeff. Evidently, not enough people took our warning seriously. That's my view. Steve is in Tempe. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Seth. Just, it was interesting when you had your guest on earlier, you were talking about Stockholm Syndrome, and that struck me as a related, I think you were relating that to the reason why the Republicans are so silent for the most part.
Too many, yeah, yeah.
Too many, yeah, no question. I think it's a combination of most of the Republicans. You can probably classify them as being complacent, not really caring about it, scared, or just not having the ability to say anything about it. And I think it's probably a combination of the three of those things as it relates to all of them. But I'll tell you, Seth, one of the things, there's been a phrase that's being used right now quite a bit that I had never heard this before, but, or a word, and I never knew the exact definition, but you hear the word gaslighting,
yeah,
a lot.
Right.
And when I first heard that, I thought, well, that's just like throwing fuel on the fire.
No. It's more like a projection. It's more of a projection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Essentially what it is creating a narrative so people will question what they believe to be true.
Yeah.
And that's been going on for the last 4 years, every single day by all the networks. And what we're seeing right now are the results of that. And, you know, I think as it relates to the election, I think you and I both know, and 75 million of us question the validity of it just because of what happened. And it's being swept aside now that, you know, oh, it's a given that, you know, this thing happened and Biden's the president and there was nothing to look at.
Well, what I really worry about, notice what's not in the news over the last week and a half or 2 weeks. Notice what's not. Hunter Biden and investigations into how we can make elections safer and more secure going forward. I really don't want us to let up this, either of them, really. But the second is really supremely important. It's so important. So once we lick this wound, can we get on that, please? Can we get on voter ID and restricting unsolicited mail-in ballots? Please, can we? That's our first task. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Larry is in Phoenix. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
And, well, I'm great.
Good.
I'm great. First things off, thanks for some Lowell George and Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
There you go. And I just wanted to piggyback quickly on what your last caller brought up and what you brought up about what you've been talking about for a long time. And two things. One, President Trump, again, unfortunately, through this disaster that happened at the Capitol, okay, but out of it, if I try to look for the silver lining in things, is that for the 4 years, he's been undressing them and exposing them for who they are. And it is being apparent, especially to the minorities who voted for him and more people altogether. But this here has basically ripped the curtain back on their behavior and what they're all about. They do not have any clothes on. They're exposed, and they are doing what we know they are. They really are exposed. And I think what you said earlier about the 90s and how and the strength that we need to have, then I don't think the populace was exposed enough to what the problem was, but the Gingriches and the other people that you'd mentioned were. This time I think it's the other way around. I think the people recognize what they don't want, and we need the strength of people to lead it. Though I don't know if that articulated.
Yeah,
well
no,
enough.
It is, and I would add to it. No, I would just add to it that if there was a substantial part of the Biden vote that wasn't so much pro-Biden as anti-Trump, you've heard a lot of this argument before, right? If there was
Absolutely.
A large part of that, the Democrats possibly are doing us a bit of a favor, at least in the next 2 years. You know, a Trump conservatism without Trump may be the conservatism that can get us the Congress back in a big way. May. It's a thinking point. It's a thinking point anyway.
I agree. And as far as them doing us a favor, unknowingly, you know, because they don't think that they believe they're invincible.
Yeah, history starts
anything,
for them every day,
anything.
Right? Yes, of course.
There
sure.
you go.
Yeah.
But when I had heard that the ACLU had mentioned that this could be a slippery slope,
yeah. Yeah.
somebody there is picking up
yeah.
that this might not be the great idea. You could be, as the general Yamamoto said, we could be awaking a sleeping
yeah.
giant.
Yeah.
You know, it very well could be backfiring on them. We just need the Jordans and all of those people to get more comrades.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, I hope that there is a building block here on, you know, on the leadership of people like that. And maybe that is the leadership. Maybe the party is, you know, we've named a lot of people on this bench. You know, and you could do worse than a party led by people whose names are Tom Cotton and Jim Jordan and Kristi Noem and Ron DeSantis. I mean, we could keep the rest of this show going just mentioning these names. It's a pretty damn good bench.
They're proven, and you know, maybe lastly, they're just doing so well. Trump has given them a voice.
Mm-hmm.
He has shown them that you can go out and fight.
Yeah, he moved the markers a little bit. Yeah,
conviction
yeah.
and win.
Yeah, he moved the navigational beacons, I think, a little bit for us. Yeah, or
and
maybe just enough. Yeah.
Right, and those Republicans that said, well, we can put up with 4 years of Hillary Clinton. Those are the ones that have to be identified again.
Yeah.
Because
they're,
imagine
I,
what
I think they're identifiable. I do. I got to tell you. I think they
oh,
are.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You bet. I'm with
but
you,
they
Larry.
Need to be punishment needs to be there on both sides.
Well put, sir.
Anyway, thank you
no,
so
God
much,
bless
sir.
You. It's
thank
nice you. To hear from you. Happy New Year. Don't be a stranger. Thanks. I have a few things I want to get off my chest. So do me this favor. Let me do that in the next segment. And if you didn't get on today, we will make sure that you get on tomorrow. We'll be right back. If someone wanted you to or told you you needed to boost your immunity, what would you do? Would you take more blueberries, oranges, pineapple? Would you eat more spinach, cayenne pepper, garlic, kale, broccoli? You can do that all and more with Balance of Nature. Just one dose a day, 3 red capsules and 3 green capsules, bursting with tens of thousands of vital nutrients from 100% whole food plants, fruits, and veggies. They lock into those capsules using their unique cold press process. I take it every single day. All organic fruits and veggies picked at the peak of ripeness. It's a great product. Boosts your energy, your health, your immunity like nothing I have seen. The most efficient whole food supplement on the market, and they have a great deal, offering free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of their fruits and veggies. Give Balance of Nature a call at 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Make sure to use discount code BALANCE to get their great offer of free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of their fruits and veggies. You know, watching the before I say that, let me just say again, if you missed my monologue today, it's available at YouTube. You can go to youtube.com, type in 960 The Patriot, hit subscribe. It's free. There's probably about 5 monologues a year I give that I say are about the most important things or ones I could give. And the one today I think is about as important as anything I'll say the rest of this year. So if you missed it, please do check it out. Let me know what you think. Watching the impeachment statements today in the House of Representatives, the hypocrisies were amazing, and the lack of shame even more so. The lack of shame. The worst form of shame is having none, Abraham Joshua Heschel once said. I was watching one congressman, Democrat from Illinois, Raja Krishnamurti, talking about how important democracy was to him. And cleverly, he thought, he said at the end of his one-minute statement, "For this, we are going to fight like hell." He thought it was clever because he was using the president's words. What he doesn't realize in his lack of shame and in the entire Democratic Party's lack of shame is that's the statement they are attributing to President Trump for having caused incitement. If saying fight like hell is the cause of incitement, as I said yesterday, as I'll say again now, be careful. Be careful. Because you're going to have an awful lot of full prisons, starting with every member of Congress, all of whom who have said fight like hell, including Krishnamurti today on the House floor, arguing for Donald Trump's impeachment. These words have to have meanings, incitement. I don't know how many times I saw Democrats today, including Nancy Pelosi, including Jerry Nadler, including others, saying Donald Trump constitutes a clear and present danger to the United States. I think they're trying to be too clever by half there as well. Clear and present danger is not the test of incitement. Used to be, many, many moons ago, hasn't been since 1969. They're too smart not to know that. Or are they? The clear and present danger test died over 50 years ago. The test is direct, imminent threat of violence. That's the test. Now, it would take someone of little common sense to say we're impeaching the president for incitement to violence, incitement to riot. Isn't it odd that we don't see clips or have audio of him doing that? Yeah, it's odd, because he didn't do it. You cannot find direct, imminent implorations, incantations, requests
invocations or orders to violent action. Can't find it. It's not there. It's not there. When they say he said fight like hell, that's not a direct invocation to or imminent threat of violence. Every single candidate for office and politician has said those very words, including Democrats today on the House floor. Compare and contrast that with what Democrats said all of last year, or for that matter, if they want to make the argument that Donald Trump's questioning of the legitimacy of the election was a direct threat or invocation to violence, then they need to find a better impeachment manager than Jerry Nadler, who said in January of 17, I will not be attending Donald Trump's inauguration because I don't want to pretend this is a normal president or a normal election. The election was corrupted by the Russians placing their fingers on the scales, by the FBI placing its finger on the scales. It's not legitimate, and I don't want to honor it that way. Close quote. That was Jerry Nadler in January of 2017. Was that an incantation to violence? Was that an invocation of an imminent threat? Was that an incitement to insurrection? Of course it wasn't. Of course it wasn't. And unless and until we're prepared to ban rallies in Washington, D.C., lest some crazy person or group of crazy people react wrongly, unless we're prepared to ban all rallies and protests in Washington, D.C., we better be prepared to understand what it is the Democrats are up to today and have been for some time now, making Republican and conservative thought and Republican and conservative beliefs and membership in the Republican Party and the conservative movement a crime. Joe McCarthy had nothing on today's Democrats. I suppose I agree with the Democrats in one thing. It is a dark day, but they're the ones who brought the clouds. They're the ones who brought the clouds because it's a dark day for civil liberties and free speech. It's a dark day for a two-party system. It's a dark day for any rational or objective concept of us being all Republicans and all Democrats. That is to say, all Americans, as Thomas Jefferson intoned in his first inaugural. William O. Douglas. The vitality of civil and political institutions in our society depends on free discussion. It is only through free debate and free exchange of ideas that government remains responsive to the will of the people and peaceful change is effective. The right to speak freely and to promote diversity of ideas and programs is therefore one of the chief distinctions that sets us apart from totalitarian regimes. Accordingly, a function of free speech under our system of government is to invite dispute. It may indeed best serve its high purpose when it induces a condition of unrest, creates dissatisfaction with conditions as they are, or even stirs people to anger. Speech is often provocative and challenging. It may strike at prejudices and preconceptions and have profound, unsettling effects as it presses for the acceptance of an idea. That is why freedom of speech, though not absolute, is nevertheless protected against censorship or punishment. Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Nadler, read a Supreme Court decision on First Amendment speech
and check in with your liberals, Jackson, Douglas, Holmes, Brandeis. For today, they'd be ashamed of you. Till tomorrow, God bless, and class dismissed.